Simon says, stand up. Simon says, pat your head. Simon says, rub your belly. Simon says, stick out your tongue. Simon says, close your eyes. Yep, there's Simon right there. Simon says, bark like a dog. Oh, come on, we have to have some from a Pentecostal background. Let's see. Come on, people. Well, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Jesus says, be baptized. Jesus says, go and share the gospel. We all know the rules of Simon Says. Simon Says something, you're supposed to do it. I saw one person, maybe there's a couple, but not many folks were interested in playing Simon Says with me here this morning. I had no idea what to expect. It's either going to be all or nothing. It's closer to nothing. So I didn't mandate you to listen to Simon. I don't necessarily mandate you to listen to Jesus either. I would strongly encourage it, though. I think it would be incredibly foolish not to listen to Jesus. What he has clearly spoken in his life, what's been written down in his word, we ought to follow what Jesus says. Unfortunately, what Jesus says conflicts with what we want to do a lot of times. Well, Jesus, you don't understand the situations of my life. There's some real reasons to be anxious here now. I don't care what's written in Matthew chapter 6. There's some tough stuff going on here. Well, Jesus, you want me to share the gospel, but you don't understand. I don't really know that. I don't have a system memorized. This person's pretty intimidating. What happens if they reject me? What if I don't know what to say? What's going to happen here if I tell them about your son? Does Jesus say it's optional? If he's placed it on your heart to reach somebody, yet often we talk our way out of things like that, don't we? Jesus at the end of his life said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. We're to obey all that he's commanded us to do, not just the parts that are easy for us. It's it's much easier for me to show love to somebody. Here, let me serve you in your backyard. Let me cut some trees. I don't know who you are, but when it gets to that awkward gospel conversation, maybe that's time for another day. And it very well, maybe, there's different seasons for doing these things. But unfortunately, most of us in this area, I can be chief sinner. I am chief sinner. I excuse my way out of it. Next time. Well, I don't want to ruin the friendship. I don't want to ruin the relationship. I don't want to get rejected. Unfortunately, I know very clearly that the Lord does want me to do these things. Last week, we looked back at 2018. We focused on that message. Well, God is using many different things, the changes, the trials, everything going on. He wants to conform us into his image. He's using these things to make us more like him, to bring about change in our lives. Because while some of us are more spiritually mature than others, none of us have quite got there just yet. And that's all of us, and there's nothing wrong with being an immature Christian or being a medium mature Christian or wherever you are on the spectrum, unless that's just where we stay our entire lives. The Lord wants to groom us and develop us into his image. This week we're going to take a look at where I believe God's mission and vision is for Heritage Bible Church. As we look ahead towards this year, as we look ahead towards the many years to come, I believe God has a clear vision for us as a church. Clear in one sense, other senses, the specifics, I don't know, but that doesn't stop us from taking those steps of obedience beginning today and this year and seeing what happens. I believe that God's vision and mission for the church is that we are to become a disciple multiplying church. This was his great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. God wants us to be a disciple multiplying church, where each of us is engaged in making disciples who, as a result, are making disciples, and then their disciples are, in turn, making more disciples. So I've kind of spoiled the big idea for 10, 20 minutes down the road, but I believe this is God's vision for us as a church. And this has been God's mission for the church from the beginning. After developing and grooming the 12 in a highly relational environment for 3 years, these 12 were now prepared, and with the help, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, to make disciples who make disciples who go and make disciples. So God gives them the marching orders as he passes the baton to them, and he creates the church here with our great commission, or as I've heard it said, they said this past week, the everyday commission. Yeah, yes, it's great, it's wonderful, because this is going to change the world, but this should be our everyday commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is his commission for each of us. I like the word, he starts with go, and it's not action. I'm going to launch you out and do these different things. But know that this Greek word means as you are going. As you are going about your life, as you are doing what I've called you to do, where I've placed you, the things, whether you're going to school, you're a teacher, you're working for the federal government, you have kiddos at home, whatever you're doing, as you are going, make disciples. Some of us will be sent off to California. Some of us will be sent overseas. Some of us will come back. Some of us will stay right here in Panama City. Some of us won't cross over the Mississippi River. Some of us might never see snow in our lives. But as you are going, the scripture is very clear. Make disciples. Make disciples. Do you think this was a priority in Jesus' ministry? Those 3 years, these 3 years he spent pouring into these men, these 3 years he spent commissioned by the Holy Spirit. So for the church, us who are the called out ones, making disciples should be our everyday priority as we go. As you go, make disciples. So the million-dollar question, well, what is a disciple? And there's 60 of us here this morning. We probably have 60 or so definitions. The three of us might have a similar definition because I asked the folks to define it, and I showed a definition that I like. But for the most part, well, what is a disciple? If this is what we're told to do, all right, well, what am I trying to create? Eastern Shipbuilding, you're told by the Coast Guard, make us new Coast Guard cutters. You probably have some specifications, don't you, Randy? You have some pretty strict guidelines. This is what you need to be. And you get the Coast Guard there pretty regularly, except when the government shut down, making sure you adhere to those standards, don't you, Randy? Some of them still come to work. So Coast Guard has commissioned you all, go and make us new boats with all these bells and whistles and wonderful things to keep people safe. A lot of things are defined. So what is a disciple? I love this definition. I think this is a great definition. And as we move forward as a church, we this is open to tweak. This isn't necessarily scripture. Jesus doesn't say this is a disciple, but I think this well encompasses it, and we'll unpack it this morning. But a disciple is one who reflects the character and priorities of Christ and is engaged in modeling and reproducing it in others. A disciple, one who reflects the character and priorities of Christ and is engaged in modeling and reproducing that in others. So last week when we talked about looking back, we saw 2018 as a year of change. And I said God uses those trials to conform us into his image. I believe that's the character. It's also the priorities, but the character. What is character? It is those things which are ascribed to a person in common estimation, those distinguish or good qualities within a person. The character, these good things about them. So a disciple of Christ, the simple definition is a student but it's much more than a student. We think of student in a pretty passive sense here in America, where you guys sit down in your chairs in front of me with your desk, and let me give you some stuff. You'll remember 10% of the things I tell you, and then we'll move on, and you'll forget what I've said. This more encompasses. So this stuff, this information should change who you are, should change your character. So what was the character of Jesus? That's a pretty important thing. We want to look at if it reflects the characters and priorities of Christ. Well, what was Jesus's character? There's a lot of things down there, but character. He was a compassionate Lord. He is compassionate, is he not? He's a servant. His character, he's forgiving, he's prayerful, he's gentle, he's patient, he's humble. We could probably spend all morning just brainstorming and pointing out different scriptures. Hey, this is Jesus, this is his character, this is how wonderful and awesome he is. So as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Christ, we should reflect these characters and more wherever you find here, especially in the Gospels. Hey, this is Jesus, I very clearly see this is who he is, this is his character. I want to be asking the question, well, is that me? Do I have that character? Am I compassionate? Yeah, when it's easy for me, when it benefits me, when the three kids and Rachel are all doing the thing that I want to do, I can be a pretty compassionate guy. But what about when it's not what I want to do? Am I compassionate then? I love to serve when it's my agenda, when it's something that I like to do, but what if it's cleaning poop out of 3-year-old underpants? Am I a big servant at that point? Or do I rather pass it off to Rachel to allow her the opportunity to serve the Lord? Because I'm a disciple maker, you see. Give her the opportunity to serve. My servant, am I forgiving? Once again, it's easy. It's easy to forgive the easy people. Am I willing to forgive when it's that prickly pear in my life? Am I willing to be forgiving in that, or would I rather just kind of skip past that and move once again to the easier situations? And please, this list is not all encompassing. As I said, these are just things. So our character should start to represent these things. As the Holy Spirit more and more, he fills us each and every day, these fruits should be coming out. Not because, all right, Brian, you got to be compassionate today. You're going to talk with Helen Crow, and you love her. Remember that you love her. I'm just teasing you. I only said that because you got thick skin, and you know I love you. Well, no. Because compassionate, because, well, you have the Holy Spirit. You have God's love within you. This is who he is. So a disciple is one who reflects God's character. These are some of his characters. So these trials often help us in those areas. What about priorities? Jesus had significant priorities in his life, did he not? What we saw is some of his, was his family, his mother and his brothers his first priority in his life? Now, does that fit well within the American evangelical church, though? Jesus, I think you're wrong. What about Jesus? My character should be reflecting his priorities. And once again, this is not an all-inclusive list, but here's 7 or 8. He came to seek and save the lost, did he not? We got Zacchaeus, that wee little man up in the tree, this terrible tax collector. Jesus says, come down, you're going to come. I want to come eat at your place today. And everyone, what are you doing? Don't you know who that wee little man is? You should be with the rest of us. Well, Jesus said, no, I came to seek and save the lost. I don't care what you all think, church. I don't care what you all think, synagogue. This is my priority, to seek and save the lost. I'm going to be with this guy. He wants me for me. He wants this close relationship with God. This was Jesus' priority, one of his priorities. One of his priorities, he was dependent on the Holy Spirit in everything he did. Am I dependent on the Holy Spirit in everything I do? Or you know what, I have some pretty good education with my seminary. I have more commentaries than I know what to do with. I have natural abilities in speaking. Am I going to be dependent on myself or the Lord to speak to each of you? It's got to be the Holy Spirit. prayerful guidance. Lord, what do you want? What do you want to do? What do you want to say? Each and every day, I have my agenda for tomorrow, but that might not be the Lord's agenda. Obedience to a kingdom agenda fits into seeking and saving the lost. Word-centered, which I think Heritage Bible, we're pretty good word-centered. Hey, if it doesn't say it here, or if it contradicts what God's word says, that's a no-no. But there's also stuff that we like to slide over whether we admit it or not. Man, God, now you're meddling in my life. This is getting difficult. I don't want to do that. That's tough. Can I just pray for the person instead of sharing the gospel with the person? Can I just serve the person instead of telling them about Jesus? Oh boy. One of his priorities, he was exalting the Father in worship. Worship was a priority for Jesus. His relationships of love and integrity were a priority for Jesus. Once again, there's many other things. And so priorities means something that's of precedence and place or rank. These were up higher. Not that anything else is bad, but just, hey, these are my top things. We all have limited time, limited bandwidth. Even if you are God, there's only certain things. He had 3 years of ministry. What was a priority? We have limited time here. We have limited energy, do we not? Lord, what do you want me to do? What should be a priority? So as we grow as disciples of him, the goal is to reflect his character and his priorities. But we're not completed until we're engaged in modeling and reproducing that in others. So look at reproducing. Saying, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have a map here of the world. That little red dot represents, probably generously, where Jesus traveled in his lifetime, telling people about himself. Never traveled more than 100 miles. Yet he came here to reach this entire earth. So he's telling his disciples, you need to go and make disciples of all nations. So if Jesus has never been in the rest of the 99.5% of this earth, well, they're going to have to tell him about him. They're going to have to seek and save the lost. They're going to have to share the gospel with these folks. They're going to have to multiply. Because he wants them to make disciples of all nations. And that's still, I believe, the Lord's will for us. Therefore, if all nations have not placed their faith in Jesus, they'll first need to place their faith if they were to become a student of his and to begin to have their characters and priorities be conformed to his. I believe discipleship begins and ends with evangelism. Yes, there's folks here in the church, you know, hey, I've never been a disciple, so we'll come alongside them and speak truth in their life about, hey, maybe your character here, not that you're a terrible person, but hey, let me lift up this love here for you. Let me share this truth. Maybe your priorities aren't quite there. Let me come alongside you. But ultimately, we're raising people up to be multipliers, to go and reach more and more and more people. Reaching lost was a priority of Jesus. So if we're not seeking to save the lost or discipling the new follower of Christ to go and seek and save the lost, then we're not making disciples. Well, we're just raising Christians to be better Christians for the sake of the already established body of Christ. And that's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, all right, become more like me so that those who already know me, it can have a stronger clubhouse. The 12 cannot do this on their own. They'll need to be reproducing themselves. Let's go ahead and take a look at an example. So we got two people here. We got one person who's going to save 1,000 people a day, or we get one reproducing disciple every 6 months. So we get your Billy Graham. Not saying that Billy Graham did not make disciples, but we get somebody incredibly talented evangelist, 1,000 souls a day they're saving for the Lord. Or you get one, start with one person who's willing to reproduce themselves every 6 months in somebody. They're reaching somebody new and coming alongside somebody and showing them the character and priorities of Christ. We have 7.7 billion people on this earth to reach. All will not know him. We can see that in Revelation. There's going to be judgment. But how do we best reach people? So after year one, we got 365,000 people saved for the Lord. And that would not be a praise, would it? That would be amazing. 365,000 new souls. We got this one person. You probably can't really see it here. They got four people. There's now four people who now know the Lord. Year two, we got 16, then 64, 256. Doesn't get to be till about year 11. Got 4 million people. This reproducing, each person every 6 months, they're reproducing in one new person. It's not you have to reach 10 people every 6 months reproducing. At 16 and a half years, 8.5 billion people are reached. And once again, there's limitations to every illustration. But it's just reaching one person every 6 months. It can start small, with a small movement. Just reproducing. Hey, I'm intentionally pouring my life into yours so that way you'll be complete, equipped for every good work. So that way you can go and reach the lost, and you can go ahead and raise them up to train exactly what I have done for you. This is what I believe the biblical method. It's the more effective method. That's what Jesus did. Yes, he preached and everything, but he spent the 3 years discipling, commissioning the 12 men. He discipled others, but he commissioned these 12 to go and do these things. Jesus, if he reached 1,000 people a day, we'd still be in this boat. I did a calculation here. You guys can check my math if you don't like my math. Because I'm a meteorologist, I get math wrong every so often. It would take 21,000 years, reaching 1,000 people a day, to get to 7.7 billion people. A person does not live 21,000 years. Probably already knew that. It's far more effective, especially... We're probably not going to get into North Korea. Some of us, as I said, we're not going to go past Mississippi. Some of us aren't going to see snow in our lives. Just start where you are. Jesus started small. Jesus started locally. He wasn't taking mission trips to India or Africa or wherever, and not that any of those are bad. He just created reproducing disciples. So as they go therefore, as you go, you're making disciples wherever the Lord takes you. Going and making disciples, teaching them to be obedient. Everything I've commanded you, what's the point in knowledge without obedience? That's not wisdom, is it, Mr. Russ? He wants us to be obedient like he was to the Father. And Jesus says, don't worry, I'm with you always to the end of the age. It's not in your power, in your knowledge, in your anything. It's the Lord doing this through just a willing and open vessel. Hey, are you willing to do this for me? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone a little bit? To have those awkward conversations, trusting in him, whatever he is leading and guiding and directing you? He's here with us, which is great because we're not sufficient on our own for the task of making disciples who make disciples. Only God can change the hearts. I could have a fantastic sermon that hits every single verse smack dab on whatever subject, but if the Lord's not working on the hearts, then it's useless. Similarly, I can preach a message on something, and one of you all hears a little bit of snippet of something else, and it's something I was even talking about, but because the Lord was in it, his Holy Spirit was working, he works in your heart right there, and you're encouraged. Yeah, I gotta, Lord, this is what you're communicating to me. And it's not because of my studies, it's because of the Holy Spirit, him doing his work. And so with that, we'll back up to verse 18. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore. So before this commission, Jesus prefaced it by stating that he's been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So when we go out, it's not by our authority. Well, my pastor said you got to do this. Or I'm your pastor, I've been elected by you. Heck, I've even been commissioned or ordained by the Christian Missionary Alliance, so therefore you must listen to me. All right, Brian, go pound sand. This is the Lord. Hey, he's coming in with his authority, doing the work that only he can do in the hearts. We've seen this in our own lives. We're all stubborn in some areas, or have been stubborn, or still continue to be. But he knows how to soften the hearts. He knows how to do the work that only he can do. Just like in evangelism, he knows how to draw people to him. He also knows how to conform the character, conform the priorities of folks. As all we have to do, we share the scripture, and we have to be willing to speak the truth and love to folks. Hey, brother, I love you. But when's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When's the last time you were in his word? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit for what you're doing? Because right now it doesn't seem like you're relying on him. You're a smart guy, and it seems like you're relying on yourself, which is only going to get you so far. Are we willing to have those awkward conversations with people because we know it's what the Lord placed on our heart to really minister and grow folks up? Since God's the only one with authority to make disciples, it's freeing. It's awesome. He's going to do the work that only he can do, and we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of making those disciples. So as we close, I believe Heritage Bible Church, he wants us to be a disciple-multiplying church. Start locally. Go as you are. Great quote I heard this week. Jesus started the church the way he wanted it. Now he wants the church the way he started it. He started small, and yeah, it's going to feel overwhelming. Lord, how am I going to make a difference just with this one person, these couple people? There's 70 other people here. We'll start small. The math, those early years, yeah, it might feel like, oh, man, there's what's going on here? But the Lord knows how to work more, how to rule. We get the disciples who have the character, the priority of Christ, and are engaged in modeling that, reproducing it in others. Jesus modeled what it was like to follow God, did he not? He modeled prayer for them. He cast out demons. He did miracles. He shared the gospel. He did all these things. He modeled it. He said, now go do likewise. So as we seek to go out and do this to seek and save the lost, to raise up more disciples, another quote, as we try to figure it out, well, who are going to be the easy targets? Tim Johnson also said, there are no more easy people out there. All the easy ones have already been taken. The Lord will work on the hearts and it'll make it even, but we need to engage in those relationships. Lord, what do you want to do? So as we seek to close out, Brian, I don't know how to make disciples. I'm not sure if I was ever discipled myself, is the way you're defining it right here. You know, I was taught great things, but I'm not sure it looks like what you're describing. What do I do? Well, if you feel God's calling, putting on your heart, there's always going to be somebody here who is, I should have come up with a better word, below you, beneath you, and not as spiritually mature. They don't quite have the character and priorities of Christ as you do in your life. They haven't been walking with the Lord as long as you have. Prayerfully find that person and just start going through the scriptures. Go through the gospels. What does it say here about Christ's character here in this passage? What was his priority here? Just ask, is that my character? Is that my priority? Hey, is that yours? As you engage in it, since this is God's will, I believe God wants to answer those. He'll put somebody in your path. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll help you out in doing all that. Additionally, so who is one person not as spiritually mature as you are? Who can you reach out to? Who is one person who does not know Jesus as Savior? Befriend them. Start a genuine relationship with them. Pray with expectation that the Lord would do this. Pray for God to provide this person. If it's his heart and his priority, his desire to seek and save the lost, why would he not want to place that person in our paths? Pray for their hearts to be softened. Pray for God to open doors to share the gospel. Pray for God to give you the words and boldness to share the gospel. I had a little testimony here. Right now is pastor. Most of my relationships are with saved people here in town. You know, I have some unsaved family. This week, God got a hold of my heart, the disciple-making conference. So I prayed with expectation, Lord, put somebody in my path who does not know you that I can befriend, that I can come alongside. The Lord had, maybe it's I'm not even sure what they call the leader of the Mormon facility next door. Maybe it's just going over that person. Start a relationship with that person. David mentioned the testimony of Micah, this Mormon missionary. He was out, and the only person to befriend him was this Baptist pastor. Everybody else just kind of, you're nothing, you're whatever, get away from me, you're whatever. But this pastor took him in, and he showed him the love of Christ. He shared the gospel with him. And then with, I believe it was 4 weeks left in his two-year term, he came to Christ based on this man. And now he has this whole ministry reaching out to folks and reaching into the Mormon church. He reached out to his family, who his mother was a professor at Brigham Young University. Now an outspoken evangelist, book writer. So I prayed with expectation, Lord, please put somebody in my path I can befriend. I had no idea who it was. Like I said, maybe it was the Mormon folk there. And Saturday morning, there's a knock on the door. It was a different group. I had Danny and Adrian from Jehovah's Witnesses here in town. And of course, our first reaction Saturday morning, dude, just get off my property. I don't want to have these conversations. But then I remembered Micah, and so engaged, and I probably made a smart out comment because unfortunately that's what I do. But just, engaging in the conversation. We didn't have long. I said, hey, I would love to continue this conversation. I would love, hey, can we follow up again with this? Please use, let me go ahead inside. Let me go inside and get you my card so that way we can follow up with this. So, you're a pastor. Yeah, I'd love to keep on having this conversation. And he gave me whatever his resource. I'd love to do this. So please be praying for Danny and Adrian that the Lord can work in their heart. Who knows what he wants to do in this community? My point is, he loves to answer his prayers. If this is your desire, he will put people in your path. He will make those appointments for you. You don't have to be smart enough. I have no idea what I'm going to say to them. I am not an expert on the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I need to be an expert in God's love and his truth. So please be praying for that. So now we're going to go ahead and close out here today. Unfortunately, I feel many of you are the same as me. You know what? Seeking and saving the lost has not been a priority of mine. And that's horrible. Making disciples has not been a number one priority of mine. And that's bad. So as we close out, I'd love to give you all the opportunity, just a time of confession, Lord. I just saying, Lord, you know what? That hasn't been my priority. But I see that's your heart. Please, at the very least, if that's not your heart now, say, God, give me your heart for the lost. Give me your heart. Forgive me for falling short. And I'll close our service out with those who want. They'll just raise their hand and I'll commission you as best as I can just for the Lord to go and do these. So let me just guide you through a time of confession here. You can just repeat something in your heart. Lord, we are broken people. And we like to default to the easiest route, easiest path. And so I pray if the Lord's been placing on your heart that, I need to be more active in seeking and saving the lost. I need to be more active in making disciples. I've fallen short. Just confess that to the Lord right now. And just, Lord, I'm sorry I've fallen short. Lord, I pray that this would be a Sunday where we individually and corporately, our lives are changed. May you give us the heart and the desire to seek and save that which is lost here, to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So now, if it's your desire, say, I want God's power to do this. I'm insufficient on my own. Just with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just raise up your hand and say, I want the Lord's power. I want his heart. I want him to give it to you. Just raise your hand, and I would love to just pray for you right now and pray for us that we would go out into this, into here. Anybody else? Lord, I want your power. All right, let me pray. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters represented in front of you. Lord, I thank you for the joy of being their pastor. But Lord, we're all under your authority. I pray that you would give them the heart to seek and save that which is lost in Panama City, that you would give them the boldness and the words to speak. Lord, may you give them a heart for making disciples. May you help them find somebody who can disciple them, help them find somebody that they can disciple. Lord, may they be transformed. May we transform this city and this county and this nation for your great name. Send us off as your sent ones. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.